Well, tonight as we turn to the preaching of God's Word, we are looking this evening at two shorter catechism questions, two Westminster Shorter Catechism questions, questions 23 and 24. Question 23 asks, what offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? And so the question then is answered, Christ as our Redeemer executes the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. And so then the next few questions, question 24, deals with the office of prophet, 25, the office of priest, and 26, the office of king. And so we'll be looking at tonight, also question 24, how does Christ execute the office of a prophet? And Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. So those are the questions we'll be looking at. And as we consider this, there'll be several texts we'll be looking at. But I want to start by reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning in verse 15 and reading through the end of the chapter. So again, this is the living word of God, Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. As we consider Christ our prophet, this word from Moses, as Deuteronomy is considered kind of the final message of Moses to the people before his passing. He recounts a lot of their history. He recounts a lot of he recounts the law, which we read tonight. And then he also recounts their progression from this point of which they have come. But then he also gives this prophecy here of a prophet that the Lord would raise up like him from among their brethren. As we then fast forward to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, verses 21 to 22, there we read that this passage here is taken as being fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has been raised up, the prophet like Moses that was spoken of so long ago. We read in Acts chapter 3 these words. This is Peter speaking. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, and did also your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. And so we have confirmed for us that Jesus Christ is that prophet that was spoken of by Moses so long ago. And as Moses gave that prophecy, and as Peter here quotes it, give attention to him, this is really the call for us as we consider these two questions tonight of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. As we are reminded that Jesus Christ is our prophet, we'll be looking at what that means of him being the prophet. But then also being reminded that we are called to heed, to pay attention to this prophet. As both the prophecy from Moses has said, and Peter's quotation of it, there are consequences for not heeding the words of this prophet, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly his words bring life, as we looked at this morning, through his gospel message, through the work of his Holy Spirit, through his word working in us, we are made clean and pure in his sight. And if we turn away from what he says, there is nothing but destruction ahead for us. And so the application we'll be looking at tonight is for you and me to pay attention to our prophet, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we consider that call upon us, we'll be looking at the specifically Catechism question 24, in how Christ functions as a prophet. First of all, Christ reveals the will of God for our salvation through his word. And then secondly, Christ reveals the will of God for our salvation through his Spirit. Now, as we consider, Christ reveals the will of God for our salvation through his word. First of all, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we have, as John has opened his gospel, saying that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. He then comes to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. What John is setting out from the very beginning is that the only way that we can know God is through the incarnate Word, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only means through which we can know God. And he tells this to Philip, one of his disciples, in John chapter 14, verse 9, where Philip says to him, teacher, show us the Father. And Jesus' response is, Philip, have I not been with you for so long, and you do not see? I and the Father are one. He who knows me knows the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. See, the work of a prophet of old was one who took the revelation of God that was given to him, and then he made it known to the people. As God's word was being written, as God's revelation was being revealed, it was through the work of his prophets that he revealed his truth, that he revealed his word. And Jesus Christ is the supreme prophet who was come, and he has revealed who God is. In John chapter 15, which we also referenced this morning, he says, beginning in verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Now, in the midst of that, in John 15, verse 15, he says that he has called him friends, or no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. It's a picture of a servant in a household, or we can make maybe a modern day application of it, referring to employees and employers. You know, there are various levels of employees. You know, with the bus company, I'm a low man on the totem pole. I walk into the office, and if there's a note on my board that says you need to pick up this student here at this spot, or you need to do this or see me, I'm supposed to do it. I'm not given any warning. I just go when they say go. I'm their employee. They are my managers. And Jesus is making the distinction that no longer are his people just simply servants. Again, there's that word simply. Yes, we are his servants. But there is another layer to our relationship with Jesus, and that we are his friends. There is something there to be considered friendship with the Lord, friendship with the Creator of heaven and earth, friendship with the God and the one who sustains us. He is our friend, and the reason is because he has revealed to us all that the Father gave him to reveal. All the words that the Father had said, you will speak these things and you will reveal this plan and this salvation to your people, this Christ has done. He has done it in his state of humiliation, in his earthly ministry especially. But he has done it even before the incarnation, as he revealed God to us through his appearance as the angel of the Lord and interacting with various people and coming and revealing God to humanity. As he came down to Mount Sinai, as he gave the law, as he did these things, revealing himself to his people for all time. This has been his work, in both his state of humiliation in his earthly ministry, but also in his exaltation, both before in the glory that he had before he was born as a man in Nazareth, and the glory that has been restored. He continues to work in us. This is kind of digging into the second point, through the work of his Spirit and revealing to us his will. We also read in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets," that in a short sentence summarizes all of the Old Testament, "has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." So the author to the Hebrews starts out acknowledging that God has always spoken to us through the medium of prophets, through those intercessory prophets that would reveal his word to us. But in these last days, the last days are not something that is yet to come, some apocalyptic end of time scenario. No, we are in the last days right now. And we have been in the last days since the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled his ministry. And in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. And what does the Son reveal? Well, first, he is being in the brightness of his glory in the express image of his person. Again, as Jesus told Philip, "Have you not seen me? If you know me, you know the Father." If we know Jesus, we know God, because he is God. He is the exact image of the Father, and he is God of very God. He is God himself. And if we know him, he reveals who God is. When we read through the Gospels and we see Jesus interacting with his disciples and interacting with those who need his help and interacting with those who should know better and don't follow his law truthfully, we can look at that and we can rightly see for our very eyes on the page God himself interacting with humanity. And we can know and we can look at Jesus and say, that is what God would do in that situation. This is who God is. This is how God handles those who are weak. This is how God deals with those who should know better. This is how God deals with those he calls friends. This is who God is. He reveals God to us. But we also see in Jesus that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Note that the author of the Hebrews is not changing subjects there. He's not going back to God the Father. He is still speaking of the Son, Jesus Christ, that he is the one who holds things by the word of his power. Jesus is powerful. I mean, when he walked on water, the disciples rightly thought, this is a ghost. There is no way that any man can do this. And when he was asleep in the ship while the sea raged and his disciples in fear woke him up, and he cries out to the wind and the waves to be still, and without a hesitation, they calm. What were the disciples' response? They cowered in fear at their teacher, this Jesus. Because who can command the winds and the waves and that they obey him like this? But then when Jesus confronts the one who was possessed by a legion of demons, the one whom no one could subdue, no matter how much rope they used to bind him or chains to bind him, he would break them. He was wild. He was untamed. And he terrified everyone who came near. As soon as Jesus approaches, that one and the legions of demons within him run up to him and drop before him and they cower in fear. Why? Because they know who Jesus is and they know the power that he has. He is their creator. And with a word, he could destroy them. But we're told here in Hebrews that by his word, he sustains everything. The smallest molecule in our bodies to, as R.C. Sproul, I believe, was the one who said, the farthest star in the universe, it is the word of power of the Lord Jesus Christ that is sustaining it. The only reason that our sun doesn't supernova and completely destroy this earth is because Jesus, by the word of his power, has declared, it will remain until I return. And that's why you and I can go to bed at night without worrying about it. And that's why we can wake up in the morning and the sun is still there. because Jesus said it should remain. But he also then, as the author of Hebrews says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He has, and this gets just kind of the heart of what the catechism question is saying, he's revealed God's will of salvation for us. He has accomplished our redemption. And we can look at the work of Christ and also the word of Christ, and we can see what our salvation is, what it cost, what it was required. And we can look back and we can see through God's word how he was pointing to that point 2,000 years ago when Christ came and accomplished his work. Brothers and sisters, through the work of Jesus Christ, we have revealed to us the salvation of God. And this, brothers and sisters, is how Christ reveals to us through his word our salvation, because it is in his word from Genesis to Revelation that we have this revealed to us. And this is his word. This is his proclamation. And he is the one who is the prophet who reveals this to us. And we, brothers and sisters, are called to heed this word because of the one who gave it to us. Let us then heed the word of Christ, because it's through it that we come to know him and we come to know our God. Secondly, Christ reveals the will of God for our salvation through his Spirit. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. Of this salvation, speaking, the verse ends immediately before that, verse 9, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Now, the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. They are the same person of the Trinity, of the triune God. And what Peter is saying is that the salvation that has been revealed to us, this is something that the prophets long ago, as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, was at work in them, proclaiming his word. That they had an understanding, and it was revealed to them that their work was not entirely to their own generation to which they were ministering and writing to. But the ministry that they had and what they were doing was something for future generations as well. Something that would benefit us. It was for us that we would know this salvation of God. And notice specifically what Peter references, these prophets were seeking to understand. They understood in their prophecies that what was being declared is that the Christ would come, that he would suffer, and then that there would be glories that would follow. And they longed to know more, and they wanted to know more, and so they were searching and trying to understand exactly when this would happen and what would be its means. So it was revealed to them that it was not just for them, but it was for generations to come, that this was being spoken through them. But it was by the Spirit of Christ. It was by the Holy Spirit. We also read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, as Peter is talking about here, the work of Christ and the wisdom contained in it, like these things are revealed to us through what means? It's through the work of the Spirit of God. These are not things taught by human wisdom or human understanding, because human wisdom and understanding looks at the cross, it looks at what Jesus has done, and it cries out that that is foolishness. It is the Spirit of God who teaches us these things. It is the Spirit of God who has revealed these things to us. This is one of his great and marvelous works. That is through the Spirit of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, that we have for ourselves to be able to read the very Word of God that he has written and that he has preserved through the ages. But not only that, that he, as Paul is saying, helps us to understand and to know the truth. Christ's work as a prophet in his exaltation is one of sending his Spirit, the Helper, as he says again in John, to reveal to us, to teach us, to help us understand, to convict us of sin, to enable us to see, to have a heart that is soft to the gospel, and to believe, to reveal himself to us. In 2 Peter, we have this confirmed in so many words in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, what Peter is saying here is that every word in this book is not by human design or human composition. It is the Holy Spirit moving those who wrote and penned these words. Now, it's not that the Holy Spirit was, as we would sit in front of a computer and type away, that he was just like typing away on the minds of those that wrote the Word of God, and just as robots then spewing out words. But the beautiful way in which the Holy Spirit has written his word is through the gifts of the men that he used, through their abilities, through their talents, through their personality, shining through with brilliant light and glory through the sinful stain that they possessed, and producing this beautiful book that he then has preserved throughout the ages. No other book has been so studied or meticulously dissected as this book. And yet no other book comes and passes the test over and over and over again. Not even the works of William Shakespeare pass the tests as the Scriptures do that our world throws at it. And it is because the Holy Spirit is the one who has written it, and he is the one who has preserved it. In Hebrews chapter 3, we have in verse 7 to 11, quoting Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, if today you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. and said, "They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Again, the author of the Hebrews prefaces that with said when he says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says." It was the Holy Spirit that was speaking in Psalm 95. It's the Spirit of Christ. Now, as we consider the work of the Holy Spirit, again, the Spirit of Christ, this is answering the question, how does Christ fulfill the office of the prophet? Well, he fulfills the office of the prophet through his word and spirit, revealing God's will of salvation for us. And the two go hand in hand. And as John says in John 20:31, that these things were written that we might know Jesus Christ and have eternal life. This is the whole point of the prophetic work of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he, through his Spirit, sending his Spirit to give us his word for the purpose that we might know him and have salvation. This is what he has done in his humiliation and taking on our flesh, being born of a woman, born under the law, and suffering and dying for our sins, but yet being raised to life and being glorified and seated on high. In his exaltation and glory and in his humiliation, he has fulfilled this role as our prophet, as he has sent his Holy Spirit to give us his word. The call upon us, brothers and sisters, is to pay attention, is to give heed to it. When we read the pages of this book, reading them not as just simply words on a page, but reading them as the very words of God, the very words of Christ, written by men moved by the Holy Spirit, to reveal to you who God is, to reveal to me his will of salvation for us, to reveal to us his might, his power, his glory, his majesty, that we might know him, that we might love him, and that we might live for him. Christ is our prophet. We are called to give heed to the message that he has proclaimed. To heed it, to give attention to it, is eternal life. To turn away from it in rebellion is condemnation and death. May we heed the call of Christ and pay attention to his prophetic word. Amen. Our Lord, we thank you for the prophetic work of Christ. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. We thank you for sending your Spirit to write your word, and through your Spirit to preserve your word, and through your Spirit to give us understanding of your word. May you also now, through your Spirit, make your word effectual to bring change to our lives. May we love you more, may we look to you more, and may we rest in you more. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.